1 Corinthians chapter 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There's a song from the musical My Fair Lady which has the title Show Me. And leading into it, the two characters are talking together, and he is full of poetry and sort of lavish phrases about love. And then she just interrupts him and bursts into song, Show Me. And among the things that are in the song is, don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Don't talk of June. Don't talk of fall. Don't talk at all. Show me. There's a video clip, one of them depicting Audrey Hepburn in the film My Fair Lady. And she makes quite a reasonable attempt. But then if you compare it with Julie Andrews singing on the stage, probably about 10 years before that, it's quite an old clip. When you see her sing this, she just absolutely nails it. It's tremendous. But show me, show me. Robbie Williams, in one of his songs, wrote this: I want to feel real love. There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place. I want to feel real love. And here we have this glorious chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It's often used, isn't it? If you see broadcast services of big occasions, very often 1 Corinthians 13 will be in it. Very often it's read at weddings and sometimes at funerals. Love. Unmistakably, there is a desire for love within the human heart. It doesn't matter how hard-boiled we are, how macho we are, how insensitive we may appear, how sort of our faces don't crease at all. We hide all our feelings within us. But there is a deep desire within us for love. Sometimes, as we know, it can be expressed in all the wrong ways. I was very disturbed to read recently that there is real alarm, particularly in places like London, about young professionals who use cocaine as a recreational drug at the weekends. We know that alcohol can be a real problem, can't we? I remember watching a really good film, Brideshead Revisited, one bank holiday weekend, and it showed this Lord who was descending into alcoholism and the sheer problem that that was bringing. I never watched it, but recently ITV2 had Love Island running. Maybe some of you used to watch it, I don't know. But it seemed to be very popular. Love. Discovering love. And all the rest of it. The desire for love. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, and he shared in it his view that there are four different kinds of love. Three of them are seen in human relationships. There's a love that expresses affection, a love that expresses friendship, and of course there is a love that expresses the physical relationship, the erotic love that a husband and wife have for one another. But he goes on to say that there is another love. We might all need affection and friendship, eroticism, but there is a deeper love, and he referred to the New Testament and to a word that was coined by Christians to describe God's love, agape. The very nature of God being love, and that love being expressed to mankind, especially through his Son. And there is within the human soul a need for all these categories of love, but especially God's love. And that's why people are so restless at times. People are trying to explore and find this agape love that God has for you and for me. And he wants to put that love into our hearts for one another. And 1 Corinthians 13, when it sees that desire for love, gives us a description of love. And I want us to just look at it for a moment. It's interesting that Paul takes himself into what he's teaching. He says, if I speak, if I do this, if I do that, he's saying, what I'm saying now is from me, is what I believe, it's what I experience, it applies to me directly. And of course, you may know that Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians to a church at Corinth that was a pastor's nightmare, because all sorts of things went on in it that would just horrify any pastor. Give you sleepless nights as you think, how on earth are we going to sort this one out? Incest, drunkenness at communion, bad behaviour, possibly services that were like riots that needed sort of organising so that people were brought into line. It had all people going to court against one another publicly. This was a nightmare of a church. But Paul says, as he writes about love, I'm going to include myself into what I'm saying. And he, in describing love, talks about its absence. In verses 1 to 3, he said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. The absence of love. Now, I think this speaks very challengingly to us as believers. He's saying, we can display spiritual gifts. We can speak in tongues. We can prophesy. We can have the sort of faith that really moves things. We can give away our possessions. We can even be martyred. But we can do those things, and love can be absent. That's scary. That really is scary. And we do need to look into our hearts, don't we? And to see if that core necessity is missing from what we do as believers, even. We can go through the motions. We can appear to be a very active, live, worshipping community. But if agape, the love of Jesus Christ, is not there, if other motivational factors are driving the fellowship, we are in real trouble. And Paul includes himself in that. He recognizes the danger of a church not having love at its core, the absence of love. And I have to say, through my years as a pastor, I'm so grateful for churches where I've ministered, where love has been the core ingredient. We may have got a lot of things wrong, but to know that there was vibrant love pulsing through the fellowship was so, so important. But I have been, I can recall, particularly in my early years, looking back in the ministry, in the late 60s, 70s and 80s, where there was a lot of striving amongst Christians for being filled with the Holy Spirit, for things to be happening in worship, for signs and wonders, if I can put it like that. I can remember being at meetings where love was absent, where there was a lot of hubris, a lot of pride, a lot of self-seeking, a lot of people puffing out their chest and trying to tell us how wonderful they were. And I can remember meetings going away and feeling disgusted, because this has not glorified God, it's been glorifying man. And that is always a danger in a kind of environment where people are saying, we want to see Christian power present. We want to see things happening in the life of a church. And we can go right down the wrong track. So, the absence of love. But then, in the next few verses, we have the presence of love. And what a lovely list of qualities. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What a lovely picture of a Christian community, isn't it? Working together, gelling together, ministering together, walking the Christian road together. And Paul in verse 8 says, love never fails. What a beautiful, beautiful phrase. Love never fails. J.B. Phillips in his translation says, it still stands when all else has fallen. The NEB, love will never come to an end. It is a constant amidst change. It always, always perseveres. It never runs out. It never disappoints. That is powerful, isn't it? This description of agape love. It is the vital ingredient. When we go through, particularly in Corinthians, Paul gives lists about spiritual gifts and a lot of teaching about spiritual gifts. But here, in the midst of all that teaching, he's saying, this is the excellent way. I will show it to you. Love, the desire for it, the description of it, and the display of it. Love needs to be seen. Love needs to be displayed. It needs to be experienced, doesn't it? It needs to be that powerful influence in a Christian fellowship that moves that fellowship to love one another and to move out and to share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. To have a heartbeat for our community. To have a heartbeat for our society, our world, our country. A love that will spread out, covering the whole globe. If you think of Paul's life, he really did display love. We see it in his evangelistic zeal. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Christ's love compels us. In 1 Corinthians 9, 16, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. This was a man driven by love in evangelism. And he had a theological zeal. He showed love in what he believed. Galatians is a fascinating book because it largely centres on Paul and what he firmly believed, and he wasn't going to let go. This love he had for the doctrine of justification by faith alone, that people came to Christ through faith, it wasn't by works. And he found that there were Christians who had a Jewish background who were saying, if you want to be a really good Christian, you've got to become a Jew. Go to all the rites of circumcision and all the rest of it. That makes you a really top-notch, top-class, high-ranking Christian. And Paul had a fight with Peter over this. He had this love for the Lord, this agape love, that had a theological zeal for the truth. And he had a pastoral zeal. Read his letters, and they flow with his love for other believers. I just, at random, for example, the first book, we read that Paul wrote in Romans. Just see his love there in verses 8 to 10. In chapter 1, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by the will of God, the way may be open for me to come to you. He'd never even been to Rome. He'd never seen this church, but he loved it. He loved it. Love needs to be displayed. And I pray that we, and I'm talking to myself, I include myself in everything I'm saying, that we will have an evangelistic zeal to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. I'm not saying we should go about with a Bible in our hands and hit people over the head with it. But sometimes when people say, why are you doing this for me? Let me do an act of kindness. To have the courage and say, well, it's Jesus who gives me this love for you. It's Jesus who is guiding me. I want you to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a neighbour? Is there a member in your family? Is there someone at work? And really, if you but knew it, they are yearning for someone to tell them about the love of God. An evangelistic zeal. A love for God's word and his truth. You see, we can't believe everything. Whatever the government may say about being inclusive and sort of, you know, we've got to just go along with everything that everyone says. Let it all wash through us. And there are things as Christians we have to fight for. I'm not going to enter into debate, but I believe as Christians we've got to fight for traditional marriage. We've got to keep saying, you know, in this society, Christian marriage counts for something, haven't we? And display it. Display it in our marriages and the way we live. There are truths we hold to very dearly. And there is that pastoral love that we need to. And I know you've got it in buckets here. I can feel your love every time I come. And that's wonderful. It's very, very precious, isn't it? I know you pray for one another. and uphold one another. And believe you me, there are some of you, and that keeps you going. The thought of the love that is behind you, the realization when you go for that hospital appointment, there are friends who are praying for you, really do care about you. And you know that they'll be on the phone when you get home, or they'll send an email or a text, whatever it might be. And you feel that real sense that there is love in this fellowship. That this fellowship counts for something. There's something precious. We may not be millionaires financially, but we can be millionaires in sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We can be profligate in love, can't we? We can lavish love on one another and in the world in which we live. People are yearning for it. I've had my eyes... I'm going on, I won't... I've had my eyes opened. I've started going in our church. Well, in the churches in Grantham, we have what is called the passage, and each church who are involved will either do a breakfast or a lunch or a meal in the evening for those who are in need. And I've started to be involved in our, on a Tuesday night, we do a meal for folk and probably cater for about 40 people. Sometimes there are not as many as that, sometimes there are that number. And it's just been an eye-opener for me to just sit and talk to some of these folk, to realise the need that there is. The need, and I'm sure Stamford is the same. The need around us, lives that are really twisted and in terrible sort of jeopardy, really. There must be a display of agape love. And above all, we see the love of God, the agape love displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate communion. His death for us on the cross. For God so loved, agape, the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting love. Love displayed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to be down and dirty, if you can put it like that, with people. Remember, one of the last things he did was to bend at his disciples' feet and wash their feet. That was his whole ministry, wasn't it? To come down to the dirt. Come down to us who are dirty and offer a way of being cleansed and renewed, given life in him. So, today, the challenge is, don't talk about love. Show me the desire for love, the description of love, its absence, its presence, and the display of love in Paul, and above all in Jesus Christ. In him, you see love displayed in all of its fullness. And we celebrate that last week in baptism, today in communion. May he really flood our hearts with his love. Open your heart to his love.